You've probably heard this saying before. Big things come in small packages. Pretty familiar phrase. Something very similar to that. Good things come in small packages. Some are right here today. 5-month-old baby. Pretty good thing. Pretty small package. Maybe also some of the ladies might think this is a good thing that comes in a small package. Diamond ring. And there might be some other things you could think of too. Here's another little phrase I caught. Sometimes the smallest things take up the most room in our heart. Think about that. Sometimes the smallest things take up the most room in our heart. Some of the most powerful things are quite small. A microscopic virus can defeat an elephant. Giant redwoods come from tiny seeds. A computer chip the size of a fingernail can send us to Jupiter and back. And even this, thinking of babies, just one minuscule sperm cell can fertilize an egg and start a new life. Well, where we are starting today is, as we continue in Mark chapter 4, we're going to start with verse 30 through 34, so just a few verses today. But this is where we are next, and in your Bible, it's very likely that the title of this little section of 3 or 4 verses is called The Parable of the Mustard Seed. Seems like we've been talking about soils and seeds and scattering and growing and all those kinds of things, and now today, the mustard seed. Jesus continues with his parables. Mark 4, 30 to 34. Jesus said, "How can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? Well, it is like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade." Well, Jesus used many parables, similar stories and illustrations, to teach people as much as they can understand. In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables. But afterward, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. Jesus may be teaching that Christianity started off very small, but it has grown into a worldwide community of believers, of which part of that community is represented right here. You might feel that your stand for Christ is minuscule. What effect do I really have? How am I really changing the kingdom? But the thing is, God's put believers in every part of the world, and he's planted you exactly where he wants you to grow. And not just here at this church, in your neighborhood, at your job, at your school, at your business. You're exactly where God wants you to grow. Your faith, no matter how small, can grow greatly in the kingdom of God. And that's kind of what this little tiny parable is all about. That's today's focus, though, is the kingdom of God. Last week in our teaching of the parable of the growing seed, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground." Well, likewise, in today's parable of the mustard seed, he also references the kingdom of God. So somehow seeds must provide a good example of describing God's kingdom. So let's make sure we understand God's kingdom. So what I've done is I've pulled off the verses that are just in Mark, because the reference to the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven are throughout the Bible, particularly in the Gospels. But I just want to share in Mark alone how many references there are and what the references to the kingdom of God are. So just real quickly, I'm not going to actually have them displayed on the screen. I'm just going to read quickly what the message is. The kingdom of God is near. One of the times Jesus says that. And then he also says, you're permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God. There's, it's near, it's a secret, partly. Jesus also said the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. We talked about that last week. Jesus went on to say, I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the kingdom of God arrive in its great power. Another place he says, and if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It's better to enter the kingdom of God with only one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell. Here's another one. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. And then also in the next verse, I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Another place says in Mark, Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And then he goes on, dear children, it's very hard to enter the kingdom of God. And then the next verse, in fact, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Just a couple more. Jesus said, you're not far from the kingdom of God at one point. And then I tell you the truth, I will not drink again, Jesus says. I will not drink wine again until I'm in the kingdom of God. It's all over the Gospel of Mark. Well, the kingdom of God, also called the kingdom of heaven, is the spiritual realm over which God reigns as king right now. It's also the fulfillment on earth of God's will. You remember the phrase in the Lord's Prayer that says this, thy kingdom come on earth as it already is in heaven? And the inference of that prayer when Jesus taught it to his disciples was, pray this every day. Because remember, we're supposed to pray for our daily bread. Well, apparently, even every day, we should pray that God's kingdom would come here on the earth just the way it is already today in heaven. Well, the phrase occurs frequently in the New Testament. And primarily, it's been used by the first three gospel writers, including here in Mark. So let's continue to talk about the kingdom of God. In general, a kingdom is a territory over which a king reigns. That's what it is. Since we understand that God is the creator of all things, the extent of his territory is the whole world. His territory is not just the Caddis Friends Church. His territory is not just the church. His territory is not just the United States, which is supposed to be based on, founded on Christian principles and the Bible. The territory of God is the whole world. Then the kingdom of God is wherever God reigns. And since he reigns everywhere, the kingdom is everywhere. There's nowhere we can go that we're not in God's kingdom. And yet at the same time, there's no castle where we can find the king on a throne. In fact, the Bible tells us that God is sitting on a throne in heaven and Jesus is sitting at his right hand. So in essence, the kingdom of God right now is a spiritual rule over the hearts and lives of those, and hopefully it's those I'm hearing my voice right now, those who willingly submit to God's authority. Those who refuse to submit to God's authority are not part of the kingdom of God. So you might be sitting next to someone who is part of the kingdom and sitting next to someone who's not part of the kingdom. When you're standing in line in the grocery store, you're in the kingdom, that person's not in the kingdom. Your co-workers that you're with, people you're passing on State Road 38, as you go home. Some are in the kingdom, some are not. Here's a short, simple definition. The kingdom is God's reign, God's people, and God's place. The kingdom is those three things: God's reign, God's people, and God's place. So what I want to do is just highlight each of those three quickly. God's reign. God is king and he reigns over his creation. But in a world stained by sin, God's kingship is resisted and the peace of the kingdom has been shattered. And it got shattered a long time ago and it's still shattered. But we're still part of his creation, and in his creation, it's his kingdom, and he still reigns. After Adam and Eve's rebellion, God's reign is revealed as redemptive. He's the king who is reclaiming his creation. He created it at one point, kind of lost it, and now he continues to reclaim it. His kingdom is the intervention of his grace into a sinful and broken world. And do you think we're in a sinful and broken world? I think we would all agree. But has it been a sinful and broken world in the past? Yes. And will it be in the future? Yes. But there's good news still coming. But that's God's reign. That's over his creation. Well, let's focus on God's people. God is the Creator King. As Creator King, reigns over all of his creatures, but he also reigns through his people. So as I'm looking at you and you're submitting yourself to God's authority, you're part of the kingdom, and he's gonna rule his creation through you and through me. And this was his design from the very beginning. Adam and Eve were created as ambassadors to the king. And they were supposed to be the one that would take the message of this kingdom throughout the whole world. They were called to care for, just as we are, they were called to care for and steward his creation and spread the blessings of his reign throughout the earth. That's what they were supposed to do. But instead they chose to seek their own path to power and glory apart from God. Their rebellion broke humanity's relationship with God, and hear this, shattered the goodness of his creation. If we remember the creation story, we remember that at the end of each day, as God created things, what did he say? He sat back and looked at what was just done that day, and he said, and it was good. Yeah. So his creation was nothing but goodness, and yet it's been shattered because of what happened with Adam and Eve. So ever since sin entered the world, God's kingdom project has become a mission for rebellious sinners, drawing them into his renewing work. And that work is done through his people. God's kingdom work will be done through you and through me. So we've talked about God's reign. We've talked about God's people. And I'm finishing up with God's place. The Bible is the story of God making good on his... No, I'm sorry. The Bible is the story of God making his good creation a glorious kingdom. It started in the garden where God commissioned his people to go to the ends of the earth to make the rest of the world like Eden. The garden kingdom was meant to become a global kingdom where people would grow under God's living reign. After the fall, though, making the world God's glorious kingdom would require two things: a reverse of the curse and renewal by grace. A reverse of the curse. We remember what happened in the garden. Once Adam and Eve sinned, what happened? A curse was placed on Adam. A curse was placed on Eve. a curse was placed on the earth itself, and the Bible tells us it's still groaning over that, as are we. And a curse was even placed on the serpent. So there's a curse on everything. But it's going to require, to get this glorious kingdom back, it's going to require a renewal by grace. And that's where Jesus Christ comes in. And that's exactly what God set out to do. The Bible is a rescue story. It's not about God rescuing sinners from a broken creation, but about him rescuing them for a new creation. God's reign begins right here in the heart. But one day, it will extend to the ends of the earth. One day, God's kingdom isn't just going to be somewhat of a feeling, somewhat of a spiritual thing. It's going to be a physical thing. The very ground we're sitting on, one day, and I don't know how it's all going to happen, but one day we may be standing right here where we are on the Caddis Friends Church grounds as part of the physical kingdom of God. How exciting could that be? Many Christians today think of salvation as leaving earth for heaven, but the story of Scripture is quite the opposite. The message of the kingdom is not an escape from earth to heaven, but God's reign coming from heaven to earth. We don't have to wait until we leave this earth to get to God's heaven. We can get God's kingdom to come here on this earth. One day it'll be a perfect kingdom, but in the meantime, it can be much better than it is now. Well, we're going to go ahead and have our closing song. And I want to remind us of the prayer that we should be saying every day. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth. Amen. What is our closing song today?
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Wonderful.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things
again, a happy Mother's Day to you all, and go and be blessed and be a blessing, and don't forget to take a blessing of Good's candy on your way out, moms.